It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, industry editor at TechTarget's ERP website. Most people are familiar with the ways artificial intelligence has transformed customer service with pushy but sometimes helpful chatbots at e-commerce sites and voice-controlled phone menus. Now, generative AI tools like ChatGPT, with their human-like language and content creation abilities, are giving contact center agents new ways to find quick answers for customers. They show great promise for augmenting people's skills and making a difficult job easier and more enjoyable, instead of eliminating jobs. The guest today is my colleague Brian McKenna, Senior Analyst of Business Applications at TechTarget's Enterprise Strategy Group. He explains what the results of recent ESG surveys reveal about contact center challenges, technologies, and AI applications. And we discuss the ethical and organizational impacts of generative AI. Brian, I would say that the average person has already seen for quite some time, maybe a few years, how artificial intelligence has been changing customer service, both on the phone, you know, when they talk into a customer service line and they have voice recognition, but also online when they're typing things in to a chatbot. Often they are now equipped with AI, including generative AI, the one that's very savvy with language. And behind the scenes, there's all this contact center technology and other technologies like customer relationship management, customer experience platforms, and all that, that are used to automate the process. And I know in your role as an analyst at Enterprise Strategy Group, you've been following some of the developments in that world. In fact, you've written an article recently for one of TechTarget's websites on that. Can you sort of give the listeners a bit of an overview of what you're seeing and sort of what the overall trend is in the way AI is coming to contact centers and to customer experience?
In the generative AI research that Enterprise Strategy Group published, I guess towards the end of last year, there's kind of a big piece, Beyond the Hype was the subtitle of that. But customer service did emerge as the top area, or certainly one of the top areas, mm-hmm. for the applicability of Gen AI. The article that you kindly referred to there spun off a piece of research into contact center technologies, which involved some questions about the use of Gen AI, but was about, you know, contact center platforms in general. That was called The Impact of Evolving Work Environments on Contact Center Platform Requirements. There's no real doubt that Gen AI is, you know, there's tremendous ambitions for it in customer service and contact center technologies and things like that. One thing that's very interesting is that in that study, you know, we asked, you know, what were the top purchase considerations for contact center technologies? And IT automation was top, as maybe you might expect. But then generative AI tools was second. So top was 35%, but second Gen AI was 28%. That is remarkable, that number two position, given the kind of recency of the technology. And this was research that was really being done towards the end of the third quarter of last year. So things will already have changed. We'd anticipate really since then. It is quite remarkable, you know, the ambitions for it, I would say. As to what the use cases are going to pan out to be, you know, there's a lot of speculation about that. Broadly, it would seem that the stuff that you maybe hear more about, like call summarization and things like that, actually had less salience than just kind of traditional AI behind chatbots and so on. And one of the kind of big ambitions for Gen AI is to improve chatbots, is to get better chatbots, and also to empower call center agents. And you could extrapolate from that to say to empower customer service staff, because not all customer service staff are in call centers or in contact centers. But those two things, better chatbots and then more empowered agents who are then liberated to do more. And we've heard this a million times, they're liberated to do more creative things and higher value things and so on. So those are the sort of definitely what people are hoping to see, mm-hmm. from the use of Gen AI in these environments. Yeah.
I looked at the presentation that was created for the contact center survey. And as you were saying a minute ago, the existing use cases, most popular ones, as you said, chatbots, and they also mentioned call monitoring and analytics. I think some of that's for performance too, like checking, like helping, aiding the performance of agents and then assisting agents. And so, as you said, there's been so much going on before generative AI really came along that was augmenting the chatbots that are just sort of simplistic, you know, that don't really do any AI. And then AI, machine learning types of AI, you know, other pattern recognition have been boosting analytics for a while. And so there's already tremendous value there. But then you have generative AI come along with its ability to do human-like communication. So that does seem like it's shifting. Even in that particular survey, the respondents are already saying that they want to do different types of uses that this new type of AI allows with its language awareness, such as summarizing the customer interactions. That was one of the top three. And also proactive customer service.
Yeah, broadly, there's, and I spoke about this, or I wrote about this in the article, there's kind of human in the loop stuff, and then there's human out of the loop stuff. And those are broad kind of concepts within the field. And, you know, generally it is said to be better to have a human in the loop. And the whole danger of something like generative AI is probably going to be the challenges for governance doing all of this stuff ethically.
There does seem to be a concern, as there is, like, for example, using any kind of AI in hiring decisions, and that it can be politically biased or sexist, racist assumptions and views that are programmed into the AI, and that this can actually show up also in customer service.
I mean, coming back to the experience of the agents, the actual human beings, who are doing customer service, who are in contact centers, or who are working remotely. But it's interesting that so much of this type of work is being done remotely. And that was one of the big findings of the research that we did in the third quarter of last year. And I suppose that's to some degree has to do with the kind of legacy of the COVID-19 pandemic. The survey found that in 2023, 84% of contact center workers were still nevertheless working from corporate offices. But the expectation for a year hence was that 53% would be. So you've got that kind of organizational design change towards more remote working. And that logically would necessitate more helpful technology for those potentially quite isolated workers. So that could be, you know, a use for generative AI and empowering them, you know, improving the knowledge that they have so that they can do a better job and a job that they are more comfortable with. Because in the kind of bigger picture, retaining such staff is a huge concern for customer service leaders in organizations. I mean, we know this from coverage and so on, or on Tech Target coverage. And that's one of the things, is retaining those workers. So the more helpful the technology is for them, the more likely you are to retain them. One way I think is quite useful to think about here is how organizations have to kind of balance empathy with efficiency, because there is the promise of a more efficient customer service staff or contact service staff operations and applying more workflow automation and things like that. But at the same time, you know, you want, as a customer, you want to be listened to with empathy. And it's how organizations might be able to use artificial intelligence. Maybe we shouldn't get over carried away with AI as such, but how they can use that to kind of balance those two things of empathy and efficiency. It's a very high level observation, I concede, but these are the sort of things that business leaders are having to think about, is when they broach something like using artificial intelligence in their contact centers.
It seems like it's another example that we've been seeing, especially with generative AI, of a type of job where making sure the technology is augmenting and figuring out how can it augment what people do. And also, I think ideally, and we've talked about this before informally, do it with the same number of people. It seems like another kind of job one of those jobs that could be eliminated, or some positions could be eliminated through further automation. But how do you augment what customer service and contact center people already do by using the technology? And it seems like they could be more empathetic if they had a system that provided more answers for them and was more flexible, so that they could talk on the phone and have more options available at their fingertips to offer to the customer. I would imagine that sometimes the current systems are as much a hindrance as a help in that regard. And I think we've all had such a variation in the quality of customer service. The larger companies do seem better able to invest in it. You know, we hear the opposite. We hear about the small business that's more personal. You know, maybe the local store, the local hardware store, or the local shoe shop, but there's a certain size you need to reach to be able to afford some of the better technology.
But the other thing that we discovered is that younger organizations were more likely to be more ambitious for the use of Gen AI. So among younger organizations of like up to 20 years or indeed less, 43% strongly agreed on the potential of Gen AI. And that was significantly ahead of organizations that have been around for more than 20 years, and even more so of those organizations that are older than 50 years. So older than 50, 24% strongly agreed on the potential of generative AI. And among those who were 21 to 50 years, it was 39%, you know, strongly agreed on the potential of Gen AI. So 43% for those that were younger. It's quite an interesting finding, I think.
There are some other enterprise strategy group numbers in the big survey that ESG does every year called the Technology Spending Intention Survey. So we have the 2024 report that came out.
We do, and it's just been published. Listeners can go and download those themselves.
I noticed that, again, customer experience ranks pretty high. So it's not number one, but the top three were cybersecurity, information management, and customer experience are the tech areas that are most commonly targeted for spending increases this year. There's also a strong connection to digital transformation initiatives. And we were talking a few minutes ago about the size of the organization. The Technology Spending Intention Survey also showed that larger or more digitally mature organizations are making a priority of customer experience initiatives. So the planned spending increases are more common for CX technologies in companies that already have an active digital transformation initiative.
And certainly spending is going to increase, mm-hmm. and it's going to increase across all the regions in terms of CX technology. So like North America, 46% said that their spending on CX technology would increase. 47% are saying stay flat, but 46% is pretty respectable. Mm-hmm. In Latin America, 50% of the respondents said it would increase. In EMEA, again, 50%. And in Asia, the Asia Pacific region, 59% were intending to increase expenditure. So right across the globe, and we're very excited about this at ESG, because previously our non-North American coverage was, it was there, but we were mostly a kind of North American show in terms of our research. But this year, we've merged with the traditional tech target spending survey that's called the, help me out here, David.
It's the IT priorities, I think it was.
Yeah. Called. Yeah. Our beloved tech target survey. Yeah. So it's a globally significant piece of research, and it shows CX investment certainly increasing across the globe.
I noticed that in the technology spending survey, which of course asked about Gen AI and data governance, that Gen AI is the most common data science and AI or machine learning technology that's on tap for purchases in 2024. Not very surprising at all.
I think the main thing to think about there is data, because this is probably going to generate a whole new data deluge. So what do you do with that data? How do you analyze it? How do you store it? How do you secure it? These are some of the things that I'm thinking about when I think about my research for 2024, is finding out what organizations are doing to develop, you know, things like customer data platforms. And, you know, it's a kind of perennial issue, isn't it? But if you have more data as a consequence of the application of generative AI, then you've got an even bigger data headache potentially. So that's something that I would like to find a little bit more about. I've spoken about call summarization being relatively absent last year, and that's the kind of classic thing, isn't it? What will develop in the future in that respect? That's something that's likely to develop.
So we've talked in a pretty theoretical way. We've talked about some specific technologies, general use cases, but what about the actual products and the types of vendors that customers who are trying to do this will buy from? And when they do, how much will they be looking at the generative AI capabilities, do you think?
I mean, that's a super question, and it's a question that I would like to answer in, or begin to answer in my research this year. I mean, if you look at the vendor landscape, you've got your ServiceNows, your Zendesks, who you could say come from an ITSM kind of background, albeit ServiceNow has moved, taken that methodology and applied it to HR and customer experience and so on, but originally it was IT help desk software that they've now generalized and delivered over the cloud and things like that. So will they be one of the key suppliers in this area? And certainly if you listen to Bill McDermott and you listen to what's coming out of ServiceNow and also Zendesk, then generative AI is never far from their lips. So it'll be interesting to see what emerges there. But then you've got your more traditional, if you like, CRM vendors, the likes of Salesforce. I'm not sure to the extent to which SAP would be super relevant here. I mean, it's mainly ERP, as we both know. We know SAP
Right, and
very
they've kind of
well.
pulled back on some of their
They
CX.
did because they had that. I mean, you and I will remember this, David. They had the C4HANA, which is a way of branding their CX stuff. But nevertheless, they're in the market. And then you've got more traditional, if you like, contact center vendors, the likes of NICE and Five9 and outfits like that. So those are three broad groups of vendor that could be salient for IT buyers here. It's a very dynamic market. There is a lot going on. There's a lot still to be determined. And the data, it seems to me the data analytics vendors will have to be part of the picture because of this new data deluge that I talked about. And things like discerning sentiment among customers. I mean, that's a key technology in terms of customer service provision and improving customer service provision. So yeah, it's a very dynamic field.
There's a few sort of big picture questions I would say that weren't answered in the existing survey that you've told me you're interested in looking into in 2024, such as maybe benefits, maybe proof of benefits, and maybe what some of the barriers that companies are facing in trying to do this. Do you have further thoughts on that? Like some of the questions you have in mind that you really feel like haven't been answered, not just by ESG, but maybe by anyone?
I think that barriers is something that I'd like to get a much better handle on this year. I mean, what are the blockages to the adoption of AI and Gen AI?
I know that there are some risks. We've mentioned bias. There was a piece written by Andrew Froelich, one of our regular contributors, called Six Risks of ChatGPT in Customer Service. And so these are risks, which are in a way barriers, because if people aren't comfortable with the risks, they won't proceed. Fabricated information. We know that Gen AI can hallucinate, as they say. So that's a worry for these customer service and contact center uses. Another thing is just not having adequate or accurate communication, misinterpreting the customer's question, providing inconsistent answers. So another thing that people have noticed in their experiments with ChatGPT, just even using them online, asking questions, that the answer varies to a disturbing degree. And then another risk, you mentioned this earlier, lack of empathy. The tool itself, ChatGPT itself, doesn't have empathy. And if they don't sense the customer sentiment purely through an angry voice, the kind of thing that a human will usually recognize, then they could get even more angry and be totally turned off from the company and maybe never call back again and stop doing business. And there's also security issues that I think we've seen in other uses of ChatGPT, where bad actors can insert either wrong information or they can actually insert something that's going to direct the customer to malware or some other dangerous activity on the internet. So those are some risks that I think people are becoming aware of.
Definitely. Those are things that companies are going to, and organizations are going to have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tremendous enthusiasm for AI, for Gen AI. There is that fundamental intention to increase spending.
Do you have a concrete example of generative AI use in a contact center?
So my colleague, Brian Glick, the editor-in-chief of Computer Weekly, he recently wrote and had published an interview with a chief information officer at EasyJet. This is Stuart Biddle, chief data and information officer at EasyJet, to give him his full Sunday title. And what EasyJet did, they introduced this in October 2023. They introduced some Gen AI to their contact centers, effectively analyzing incoming emails. So if your flight's been delayed, you know, you send an email to EasyJet, you say, where's my flight? Why has it been delayed? Can I have compensation for this? What's the story? Now, whereas that used to take a human analyst 40 minutes to read that, understand and compose a response, using Gen AI, they've got that down to 10 to 15 minutes. So the Gen AI application produces a summary of the email that's come in, proposes a response, and then puts that in front of contact center analyst. So there is still a human in the loop. But according to Stuart Biddle at EasyJet, the quality of the answers is so good, the number of follow-up questions has dropped by 30%. That's one example. I'm sure we could come up with a myriad of examples.
It really does show the efficiencies and how, with human in the loop, assuming none of those humans have been laid off yet, it really helps the whole company be more effective and for those agents to be more effective too.
And give them more job satisfaction and all the kind of things that we were discussing earlier.
Yeah, so you can kind of imagine that extrapolated to lots of other companies. What do you think the top line business significance is of all of this that we've been talking about, application of especially Gen AI in the contact center?
I mean, this is, I think, is one of those classic areas where you've got people, you've got process, you've got technology. You know, you've got all three of those things. So you've got the agents. I mean, I've never worked in a contact center. It's a very stressful job. So there's the, you know, recruitment of those people, the training of those people, the retention of them, the giving them more job satisfaction, the management of all of them. So you've got all of that. And then you've got all the processes around their workflows and automating those workflows or making them more automated and so on. So all the kind of process stuff and how you organizationally design a contact center workforce. You know, do you have them working remotely? How remotely? Do you have some in-house? I mean, how do you configure that? And then the technology itself, which, and there's kind of traditional telephony type technology, because these are call centers, right?
Mm-hmm.
People calling up. And you get to press one or two or three, depending on the nature of your query, et cetera, et cetera. So quite traditional technology that's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your traditional old school pre-Gen AI chatbots. But now you've got the newer technologies based on LLMs, Gen AI tech, like the EasyJet example that I've just given. There's a lot of technology in the mix as well. Now, it just strikes me that, and this is maybe a philosophical point, is that the way you bring those three things together could add up to competitive advantage for you as a company compared to your peers. Maybe it's a temporary advantage, maybe it would go away. But if you have a reputation for excellent customer service through your contact center, then that's going to be a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, if you have a bad reputation through your contact center, it's going to have a very bad effect. And this is highly sensitive. This is highly sensitive business application stuff. And it's highly relatable because we've all been there. calling and interfacing with chatbots and all the rest of it. So it just strikes me as a sort of area where someone who does this really well turns up as a Harvard Business Review case study that MBA students will be studying, next academic year or whatever. I've been in that situation myself. So that I think is the big picture business significance of this. I mean, if you're responsible for a company strategy at board level, then that's what you get your attention about, that mix of people, process, and technology.
I think you bring up a good point, Brian, and I know you made that in your article also about people, process, and technology. It's really a triumvirate. It's they're pretty equally weighted, and I agree. That often happens, especially with these sort of people-facing technologies. But I'm always a cynic about certain technologies, especially Gen AI. But there do seem to be a lot more upsides in this particular application.
As you Americans say, it's where the rubber hits the road.
It is. It really is. Yes. I guess maybe this is a good time to end it, Brian. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the podcast again.
Thanks so much for asking me back on in my new guise. Thank you so
Yes,
much.
I'm honored. I'm honored to have you on as an ESG analyst.